Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text today are the words from Mark 13, appointed for our gospel reading. And I would invite you to rise for the reading of the sermon text. Jesus said, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know the appointed hour for your Son to return. Set us apart for yourself. Preserve your elect to that time when Jesus shall return on the clouds to proclaim victory over all and put all beneath his feet. Preserve us with your word. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, he was so excited. His little eyes were the size of saucers when the birthday cake came into view. His little hands flapped back and forth in anticipation, but he had not had a nap. And his mom had let him run around all morning to burn off some energy before the party. And in the middle of singing happy birthday, those wide eyes sort of began to glaze over a bit. And in a little while, his eyelids were drooping. He struggled to blow out the candles, but he managed. He watched with greedy eyes as the cake was cut. But even the prospect of wads of thick blue frosting was not enough. His eyes blinked a little out of sync as he took his first bite. He managed to mash another bit into his mouth, but the third never quite made it. His head bobbed up and down as he fought for wakefulness, but weariness overtook him and he was fast asleep with a big wad of cake in his upraised hand. It's hard to stay awake when we are weary. A few years ago, I was taking some tough classes, and I would have to stay up late to work on my homework. And Pastor Hartwig's sermons at Peace Lutheran, well, they were always excellent. You know what a great preacher he is, and spiritually nourishing. But it was sometimes a terrible struggle for me to stay focused. I know that there are some of you who work nights, and it's hard to stay focused on Sunday morning in the face of that weariness. There's another kind of weariness. It's not the short-term weariness of being tired bodily from exertion. There's a weariness of life. The French call it ennui, a weariness of the soul. It's a weariness that overtakes us after years of fruitless struggle. It's a weariness that leads ever further into not really caring about much anymore. And we all face this weariness of the soul. Because we face a constant uphill struggle that we can never complete. Every night, as we prepare to go to sleep, I think many of us think back on the day and what we accomplished, and maybe we think about our shortcomings. I know I do often. Every year we see New Year's resolutions abandoned. Every decade we see our bodies slipping away into ill health. Honestly, nothing we do seems to make a difference long term. We can work out and strengthen our bodies for a little while. We can strengthen our minds and think positively, and we can use psychological trickery and sometimes even self-delusion to think that everything is getting better and everything's going to be great one day. But eventually, the truth comes out for every human being. And we want to be aware of that. Especially when we're thinking about what happens when you get a terminal diagnosis. What happens when you're on your deathbed? That's coming. How will we be prepared? Everything is not getting better. Now, this isn't the statement of a depressed mind. I want you to understand that. The truth is that the whole world is beginning to fall apart, just as our bodies are falling apart because of sin. Jesus said, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray." Many come with a promising message of earthly success. Many come promoting the idea that if you just listen to them, they will make your life better. And maybe they even could for a little while, but think about it. Jesus said, "And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." If you turn on the news, you will hear that Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and Yemen and Ukraine and North Korea, well, it seems like the whole world is on fire. And that's just this year. And Jesus said there will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. Surely things are not getting better. So we weary, wait wakeful. When, we wonder, when will this all come to an end? It's a natural question for those who are suffering that weariness of life or dealing with death. Jesus said, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." It is fitting that our God, who humbled himself and became a little lower than the angels to take on our humanity, it's fitting that Jesus truly did not know the answer to that question. How he must have searched God's word during his earthly life, his earthly ministry, to try to discover the timing of everything. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law. How he must have wondered about the timing of that fulfillment too. He looked at us, his fellow human beings, saw that we were crushed beneath the burden of our sins and the sins of our fathers and sin in this world in general, and he had compassion on us. And that compassion led him ultimately to Jerusalem and then to Gethsemane, and then to Calvary's cross. When? I'm sure that question came up a lot for our Lord. When would he be called upon to give his life? Even there in the garden, he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." He did not know the exact when, but he knew the time was coming. He knew the mission that God had given him. He was weary. He had fought through every temptation for us and triumphed. He had confronted even the devil and his demons and triumphed, but now he had to take the blame for our sins. And this he could not fight. He would not fight. He had to give himself up as the ransom for us all. His question was soon answered, and he was led out under arrest to be tried. Jesus' words in our text must have come back to Peter and James and John, for they were not themselves able to stay awake there in that garden while Jesus prayed. They must have thought about what Jesus said. "Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come." It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Are you awake? Do you spend time every day meditating upon God's law, comparing your life to His standards? Do you spend time every day in God's Word, listening to God's promises of grace and mercy? I think that, like the disciples, we struggle even to do this most of the time. Staying awake is hard. Being on guard is difficult work. It takes constant effort to stay focused. But we don't. We so easily lapse into spiritual sleep like the disciples. We fall asleep with the cake in our hand. We never really succeed. In fact, the more vigilant we are, the more often we detect our own failures to listen to God, to heed His law. We know we should not bear false testimony, for example, but gossip slips out, or we denigrate those who have maybe politics different than our own. We know we should be generous and kind, but all too often we're stingy and cold. We try, but then we slip back. This is the very effort that leads to that weariness of life. And after a while, we plead, "How long, O Lord?" When we hear what Jesus did, we are relieved that there will be an end to all of this suffering and pain and toil. Jesus paid for all our sins. But if that's the only reason we love His promise, that there's going to be an end to suffering and pain and toil, then we're sorely lacking and we're missing the meaning of that suffering and pain and toil. And we will be confused when we think about why God would allow such things to happen to us. We Christians don't have a death wish. A lot of people think that about us. We don't have a desire to see the end come just so that we can find a release from all of this. Far from it. We're also not confused when we listen to God's word. We're not confused about suffering and pain and toil because we see that we are connected with the Savior, our Savior, trusting that He'll bring us through whatever is necessary for us to be with Him in heaven. We don't go out looking for suffering, but we know we will suffer. And we count it a blessing and an honor to be at our Savior's side through that suffering. Likewise, we count our pain as not worthy of comparing with the glory that is to be revealed, like Paul says. We do ask, how long, O Lord? But not to try to hurry things along for ourselves, but because we desire that the Lord would do his will through us and bring it to completion, lest we mess everything up in our weakness. And we toil. We toil with diligence. With a diligence that the world can never understand. We have a job. Saving lives for eternity with the witness to that gospel truth that our sins are paid for, that God is gracious. Pleading for the Lord's return begs the question, what shall we do in the meanwhile? This meanwhile that we live in is what we call the time of grace for all those living with us. This is the time when they can hear God's word. This is the time when the Spirit works to change their hearts so that they might live forever. This is the time for them to receive faith through baptism and through the preaching of the word. This is the time when we need to be strengthened supernaturally by that bread and wine, body and blood, and by the word in the Lord's Supper. This is the time when we can be a blessing to the people around us. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. Stay vigilant. Stay in his word. Receive him in his supper so that you can help other people. And when the rooster crows and you find that you failed like Peter, repent and be renewed in the perfect forgiveness of our Lord. When you find yourself asleep, wake up and remember that cake in your hand. You have something wonderful at your fingertips. The Word of God Himself forgiving you and giving you life and salvation. You have that good thing in hand. Yes, we weary, we wait wakeful. May God use this Advent season that we observe to keep us awake and keep us from weariness of life, by refreshing us in forgiveness and life and granting that we see the purpose for which he has sent us to this place and this time. It's an eternal purpose. May God use us to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.